The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. And now the Mike O'Mara Show presents to you Singing the Alphabet. B-A-B-E-B. B-E-B. No, no, we all do it once. We all do our different letters. Okay. That's how we test each other.
Did not know.
Can we start again?
Can we?
Did you come to dress rehearsal?
Did you?
B-A-B. B-E-B. B-I. Biggie bye. B-O-Bo. Biggie bye. Bo. B-U-Boo. Biggie bye. Bo. Boo. Rob Spiewak.
C-A-Say. C-E-C. C-I. Sicky-Sai. C-O-So. Sicky-Sai-So. C-U-Soo. Sicky-Sai-So-Soo.
Oscar Santana with the D's.
Pass.
Buzz, do you know how to do it?
I don't know.
Try D.
D-A-Day, D-A-Di, D-I-Dicky-Di,
D-I-Do,
Dicky-Di-Do,
D-I-Do, Dicky-Di-Do. You go against the original vowels, so it's D-A.
No, I don't think it can be explained. I really, I seriously.
You just know it or you don't know it?
I think, yeah. Can I have a little more gain, just a little bit, please? A little more gain, Foster.
Yeah.
I think it really, if you try to explain it, you will confuse people more.
I don't know.
You either know it or you don't.
I believe I have the original. If you have me one moment, we can actually hear the way the Stooges did it in 1938.
Okay, so it's A, B, B, D, A, D.
You go against the against the vowels. B, A, Bay, B, E, B, B, I, Bicky, Bye, B, O, Bo.
All right, Mark Ronick, you get the F.
Isn't that always the way?
Baruch atah Adonai.
F A F A F E F E F I Fiki Pi F O Fo Fiki Pi Fo F U Fu Fiki Pi Fo Fu.
Now here we go, Mike. I'm sorry. Right. Here we go. This should be the original from 1930.
This is Mo who gives the intro to it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to test your mental I'm going to test your mental coordination with a little with a little number called swinging the alphabet.
Swing it, brother.
Swinging the alphabet. Swinging the alphabet.
Swinging the alphabet.
I'll give you the idea in a nutshell. B A Bay. B E B. B I Bicky Bye. B O Bo. I'll give you the correct demonstration.
B A Bay. B E B. B I Bicky Bye. B O Bo. Bicky Bye Bo. B U Boo. Bicky Bye Bo Boo.
C-A-C-E-C-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C-I-C
Here they are.
Hi.
The Three Stooges whores.
That's right. Curly was laying some pipe.
Notice how they come in with Dickie?
Yeah.
No accident.
And now they sound like the Little Lulu singers.
Now, doesn't Curly have a line?
Yeah, Curly takes a solo in a moment.
Okay. Because the thing I liked about it when Curly sang it is Curly sings it with the most enthusiasm.
And with a girlishly high Jack Nicholas-like voice. Now they swing it.
Now this is the part I don't know. I can't keep up with this at all.
They go back to the original meter here.
And as they're doing this, they're playing with their nipples.
No, they are.
You thought Curly was coming
in. I thought, forgive me.
Hard to believe this was recorded in 1938, isn't it?
Hard to believe this is entertainment.
This is great entertainment. Curly.
What a sweet voice.
He loved a bone.
And drink before he stroked out.
Yeah. Oh, we had a lot of strokes.
Have fun while you can.
All right, it's boring right now. All right, stop.
Now it's boring.
Start the goddamn show.
You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
A naked blonde walks into a bar with a poodle under one arm and a 2-foot salami under the other. She lays the poodle on the table. Bartender says, I suppose you won't be needing a drink. Naked lady says,
Jesus Christ almighty! What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it. What is that? What is that? What is that noise?
What noise?
Really, sir, there wasn't any noise. That noise? Was that the noise that you're talking about?
No, it wasn't. Now, I may not have caught you in the act this time, but you can bet I will. You make book on that, Missy. And you, I will not be made a fool of.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his Davenport, oh, that's so gay, here's Mike.
We are broadcasting to you live.
Hey!
From the Cappy Fifer Studios.
James Mason.
It's America's most beloved podcast, the Mike O'Mara Show. We are downloaded more than 14 million times, which is a significant number.
Oscar, isn't that the greatest James Mason you've ever heard?
I don't even know who that guy is.
Aren't you dead?
And we are heard in 150 countries worldwide. Call us, won't you please, at 718-506-1625.
Loved you in North by Northwest.
Thank you.
Our show today is brought to you by Spencer and Devin Shaving Cream. Shaving cream. Yeah. Be nice and clean. Spencer and Devin uses natural ingredients like aloe and shea butter. No harsh chemicals. Spencer and Devin shaving cream is good to your face.
And your head.
And your head when you're shaving your head. Whether you have a tough beard, sensitive skin, or both. If you got bumps, oh, those heinous bumps.
I hate heinous bumps.
Ingrowns,
if you got those terrible Al Roker bumps, get Spencer and Devin shaving cream. In sagebrush or spice.
He should think about that.
Yeah, you know what? High def is really not his friend.
Or completely unscented.
Looks like
he's
the
not completely unscented.
No, it has a scent.
Looks like the Blue Ridge.
Read their story at SpencerDevin.com or click their ad on our website, Spencer and Devin Shaving Cream. Smooth the savage blade. And greetings on the program today.
Right.
I want to start out with an article. We will get to that in just a second here.
Our
favorite news show, Robin, my favorite, the Today Show.
Yes.
Some thoughts on the Caps coach. Caps got a new coach.
Yes.
And for you hockey fans, I'll talk about that. We have a small contingent of people that love this podcast that I'm just going to give a little bit of hockey to. Is the hum there again?
No.
I hear something.
No.
Eh?
No.
Eh?
No hum.
What was something? I heard something. I heard something rustling. Oh, no. Everybody's staring at me now. All right.
Well, we're being quiet so we can isolate the sound.
Does anyone care about the presidential race? I don't think I do.
RJ
anymore.
Does.
RJ does? Yeah. That's good.
Really?
Let me
passionate
see.
About
Safe
it.
Home, Nora Ephron. I'm gonna get a little gay on your ass today because I'm a fan, believe it or not.
Well, sure.
I invite you. I plan to close the audio vault with something she wrote today.
That's good. And yes, the planet is burning up.
Yes.
And that's just the one thing I wanted to mention. I picked the greatest summer in the world to go to Colorado.
Mm-hmm. You know,
Mike's going to Colorado, so let's set the whole goddamn state on fire.
Wouldn't it be great if the floods in Florida could put out the western fires?
Yeah, what we could do is just sort of get them together, a pipeline.
I don't fancy myself as an environmentalist, mm-hmm. but aren't we beginning to realize now when you get certain parts of the world that are literally burning up,
mm-hmm.
and then you get other parts of the world that are underwater,
mm-hmm.
that maybe we've got an issue. This is a departure from the norm. We're getting a lot of anomalies from regular climate change.
However, pretty good time to be living in Virginia. No crisis here.
Yeah, except you're going to be getting your second week of temperatures exceeding 100 degrees.
Thank you, Mike Lucas.
You know, I mean,
pretty
really
good in the basement.
See, you're not taking it serious. You would
he doesn't
not,
care because it doesn't affect
if you. Rob doesn't care about anything unless it directly impacts.
And sometimes I don't even care about that.
He hates the
but
heat.
With all due respect, we had an earthquake last year. So, I mean, that's you don't have that in Virginia very often.
That's true. But it didn't do much damage.
I mean, does anybody.
It was kind of fun.
Why the respect?
When I see the lead news, lead with the state of Colorado on fire.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then at the same time talking about 20 inches of rain in 24 hours.
Right.
I think that this is weird. And another article I read just the other day talking about East Coast cities, Philadelphia, New York City, mm-hmm. Boston, in danger of a 300-year flood based on the fact that sea levels are rising much more rapidly now mm-hmm. than they have been before. This is what they were saying 30 years ago. I'm not trying to make a statement. Haven't they warned us about this?
I know for a fact that Kerry's sea level is at an all-time high.
No.
You see, there he goes again.
It's never going to work with you. It's never going to work with
Mike,
you.
Mike, if we're going to die, let's at least die laughing.
Let's have some fun.
He's not a fighter.
Well, I'm going.
You want to know where you got to go to survive.
Right.
I would like to see that people pay attention, because I kind of think this is backing up what some of the scientists have said that talk about the planet burning up.
You're absolutely right. Is there global warming? 100%.
Yeah, so why?
Climate change.
But yeah, because, but
what are we going to do?
Because you're the person that says, hey, forget it. There's nothing we can do about it. When 30 years ago, there were scientists saying that we can
get off the carbon burning fuels.
We can modify the way we live. Really, Oscar, hold on.
Yeah.
If it comes down to an issue of survivability,
yes,
where you in Glover Park
yes.
are in danger of walking into your condo
yes.
and there's going to be water up to the floorboards, or getting rid of a an automobile that's burning gas, I just say, it just seems to me that I think that because of money, big power in the industries that are going to be affected if we change things, that we create this image of, oh, it's not a big
deal.
But
you're a hypocrite.
Oscar,
no, I'm not, because I drive a car.
No, I'm not
a hypocrite.
Because you don't recycle.
That's
that. That's right.
That's the easiest thing to do.
I am not saying, hold on a second. I am not saying that I am not a hypocrite. I am not saying that at all. I am saying that this is a time when you look at this, suddenly it goes beyond me being a hypocrite. The fact that I'm talking about this right now.
If you're worried about it and you want to do your part.
No, wait. No, that's bullshit. Okay. Let me tell you why.
Language.
Because my doing my part does not change anything. What changes something, in my humble opinion, really, is we have to have a society. In order to really change things, how do you get people not to speed? You have laws, okay? Mm-hmm. You tell people what to do. I'm one of these little ants in the anthill. I need to be told what to do. And I think really that we might be looking at a situation where maybe within my lifetime, maybe within yours, where you sit there and maybe New York City is under 10 feet of water or something like that. We're going to look back and go, maybe we should have paid attention to this, and maybe they should have taken it seriously. And when governments take things seriously, it seems to me that they enact laws and rules and regulations that we don't have a choice. See, I don't think I should have a choice. If this is as serious as they say it is, I don't think I should have a choice as to whether I should drive a fuel-burning automobile or recycling. I think it should be absolutely...
Then let me ask you
there this. Shouldn't be anything, we should be, I should be required
let
to
me,
do that.
Let me put it out this to the room, as a matter of fact. If it is, in fact, this serious, and I think there are indicators that it is this serious, why is the government dragging their feet? Why aren't they doing it? Is it because of the interest in big oil?
Yeah, or whatever industry is being regulated. Yeah. I think that's our whole world.
Okay. Well,
I mean, there's a popular school of thought that says the corporations control the world right now.
Right.
It's the textiles. It's anything you make. For example, right now, we may not be the biggest polluter, but even if the U.S. government came down and said, you have to recycle, it's a law. Everyone has to get electric cars in the U.S. It's a law.
Right.
That doesn't, while that's going to help, that's not going to change what India and China are doing.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true.
Right. And those two countries buying more and more cars every day.
You know, Mike, it's global warming.
With that said, let's, because really your argument is a kind of a country argument, the way I was just making my argument about being a hypocrite.
Same thing.
Yeah.
See, by me saying that, it's true. So at the same
country
time.
Country is hypocritical.
But just do our part. That's what I would say.
Would that be enough to change the way things are? And do you think that, when you look at forest fires and the seas rising more than they should be. Do you think that's what it is?
You know, I believe in climate change, and I do believe that man has caused a great deal of it. And in some ways, we have gotten better. Maybe, and certainly, clearly not fast enough. But how much of this is cyclical? How much of this is the fact that we pay more attention and give more media attention to it, which maybe is a good thing in this case? And how much of it really is how much cause for panic is there? Is there still time? And you're right. Everybody in this country, every country in the world has to participate in this together. And the only way they're going to do that is if they see a clear and present threat.
Well, I just look at a day like we're going to have, Friday?
Friday,
we're
they're
have
called 103?
103 degrees.
Wow.
And we're getting more and more and more every year of those days. Mm-hmm. Am I right about that?
In the wintertime, it's been, 50s here it's not supposed to be.
Barely had winter.
My question would be, do you get to a point where it's 115?
Before you panic?
I think we will. When I say that you're a hypocrite, I was just as much as a hypocrite, I would say, 6 months ago. Now I recycle. It's a pain in the ass. It sucks. They actually give you they give you a bin at my place that you have to go out and it's mixed recyclable, so I can just throw it all in. I don't even have to mess with it.
Yeah, right. We do that too.
But before, when I used to talk about it, and then someone, the argument I just gave you, it was given to me in an office, like I guess 4 or 5 years ago.
And I should say, and I want this on the record saying this, I got no argument with you. You are completely right. If I'm flapping my gums about it, it's because I'm curious about it, and I have not personally taken it seriously myself either.
What my point is this, is that I would say we're, how many years out of the Industrial Revolution?
Industrial Revolution, 1890s, so 120 years.
Plus, okay, if it took 120 years to do this type of damage, if you're going to look at it that way, I think that there is a way where ourselves and our children can actually work as hard as they can. Mm-hmm. And if we start and we set an example for them by recycling, by maybe buying fuel-efficient cars, because what's happening with gasoline right now, and you'll see this in the next 5 years, is that a lot of these cars are going to be powered by natural gas, and a lot of these cars are going to be powered by electricity. So depending on what you're going to drive, you'll be able to make that choice.
But I don't know.
But
in
that same breath, gas prices are going to go down, so you're going to say, well, I could buy an electric car for $43,000 that looks like a potato wedge, or I could buy something that looks sexy and nice and is European, and I could spend maybe $3 a gallon on gas.
You could buy several European cars.
Here's a question. One thing that I think we can all agree on is that while most scientists believe in climate change and that we are warming up the planet, there is not the there has not been the argument presented in this country that has convinced everybody beyond the shadow of a doubt. You get in this discussion, you're still going to get a lot of people that say, hey, we're really not sure. If we get to a point where it is a slam dunk, where there is where the evidence is so overwhelming, and we are also we have evidence of our planet being screwed up by it, that no one can dispute, and it's dangerous at the same time, do you think at that point, when that ever happens, if it does happen, that we will be able to reverse things at that stage?
Well, it might be too late, because then it's 2012, and then everybody's getting on the flotillas and paying $10 million for a ride.
Yeah, we have water world at that point.
Well, you know, the Earth is an ever-changing, ever-living organism, and whether or not we can get back to where we were, I'm sure we can adapt. We will lose some stuff if Manhattan's underwater. We're probably going to lose that, but there might be a way that we can adapt to whatever we get to, or slow it down. We're pretty resilient people.
I have one environmental model in my life that I will never forget as long as I live in it. It has to do with where we're traveling to.
Okay.
And for people that are from the coast of Maine and know where I'm talking about and are my age, say 50 plus, they probably remember this too. And this example is, this was a little bay where we're going to be up there, where you used to go out and you used to fish off a little bitty boat and used to pull out cod. Now, there are still not a lot of boats up there. There's not a lot of fishing that goes on with people going out and fishing for fun, or even people fishing within the inland waters there, coastal waters. The way it was explained to us was Russian trawlers were off the coast, and they came in very close to the United
States. Just outside the 12-mile limit.
And they were called draggers. Right. That was another name for them.
Dressed as women?
Yeah, they were all dressed as women on their
boats. God, that must have been a fabulous boat.
My name is Peggy. And they dragged the ocean floor, and they took everything.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Including the entire ecosystem.
Yes.
And it is never recovered. You cannot go out into the bay and have any real luck of getting like cod or anything like that, because they wrecked it. It's not what it used to be.
We can turn things around. They've certainly done that with the Chesapeake Bay.
They've done it with the Chesapeake Bay.
In this area.
Right.
For a while. I don't know what the status is now, but one of the last reports I heard said that the hole we'd made in the ozone layer, or that appeared in the ozone layer, had gotten smaller again.
So things can be changed.
It's never too late to make things better or to stave off the end of the world.
Then I'm here to say, starting next year, I will recycle.
Next year.
Attaboy.
Just in
six
time.
Calendar year 2014.
Corporate influence is huge on this, and right now the politically correct thing to say is we need all sources of energy. Even Obama is saying what the Republicans are saying, and that is we need to use natural gas, we need to use coal, we need to use oil. No, we need, Jimmy Carter and others told us 35 years ago, we have to stop using these things. We were alternating days in gas lines in California when I lived back then.
Mm-hmm. Green flag.
We knew then we needed to get off the stuff, and 35 years later,
mostly partly because of our own habits, our love of big cars and those sorts of things, partly and largely because of corporate influence, we haven't changed a thing. Mm. We've done nothing.
We really,
in 35,
I don't feel like we have.
35 years, we've done nothing.
I really don't feel like we have.
So,
I,
you know, I'm not that optimistic about what we'll do in the future.
But, I mean, hybrids, you know, don't do the whole thing.
Right.
You know
right.
I mean? That's it.
It's not enough. Not
would your
enough.
Friend Surf and my friend Surf and mm-hmm. all of our friends Surf be able to speak on this issue?
He might. He'd be a good place to start.
Or his lovely wife.
Yes.
Get her
absolutely.
In here.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a day where we talk
but
about
greenest DJ in America.
I guess the biggest, the largest culprits here are the vehicles that we all drive.
Would that be it?
One
I don't know
them,
that.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
One of the, well, just that we can control ourselves, unless you own a factory and
factories,
you're making something.
Power plants.
Yeah.
Anything that burns fossil
so,
fuel.
So unless somebody in this room is Mr.
My
Burns,
factory,
I don't know what to tell you, right?
Comedy factory.
So what I know is this, is that until they make these cars, these fuel-efficient cars, nicer and sexier and more affordable, like, you're not going to see what you want to see. You're not going to see what you're talking about
right now.
Right,
so you behind the wheel of a Tesla, my friend.
I would do that if I had a garage to charge it in.
Otherwise, or a Fisker.
Yeah, hopefully one day from your lips.
That's the dirtiest sounding car.
Fisker.
It's a Fisker.
That's a $100,000 plus electric car.
But we're all doing the little things we can. For example, Mark has switched to smart smoke.
Yes, that's right.
And that
have I.
And you know what? And that's not smoke. That's vapor. That's
right.
Excellent.
It's water vapor.
It's water vapor.
Water vapor.
Water.
I pick up my dog's poo on the street. And
well, I'm not sure that's helping.
But I throw it in the regular trash.
Natural fertilizer.
Where do you put dog poo?
I usually flush it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So you actually take it out of the
sense?
You take it out of the plastic bag? And,
I just flip it.
And he
you know,
plays
the bag
with it.
Over.
And
you know
it
what?
It.
When I think about it, though,
it's fertilizer.
It's because
right?
sewage is treated. I think that's a great idea. Instead of people walking around Manhattan with their plastic bags, they should probably have a roll of toilet paper and just scoop it all up in the toilet paper, take it home, and flush it.
Better yet, how about having small, tiny street toilets?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you know, you're not taking this seriously.
I am as serious
you
as a heart attack.
Here. You are not
now,
taking.
I'm
this
happy
seriously.
To you know help with the environment and do the recycling and all of that. But there's one thing that's happened in Maryland that's killing me right now that I can't stand.
Mm. What's that?
It's that there's now you can't get plastic bags anymore at the grocery store or anywhere anywhere you shop.
This happened also in North Carolina.
If you
California.
Want a plastic bag. You're charged 5 cents a bag.
Yeah, but the plastic bag, I'm old enough once again, here I go, you know, saying everybody over 50. We never had plastic bags at the grocery store. They were always paper.
Yeah. Why is it killing you?
Because it's a pain in the ass. You have to now carry in your environmentally friendly
bag. Just spend 25 cents and get some bags.
Well, I do usually. I just spend it anyway, but it's annoying because you have to remember if you're going to do it right.
We know what really is annoying.
It's money.
We know.
It's ka-ching, ka-ching.
Yeah. Well, you know, what happens is, and I do this, I have reusable grocery bags in the trunk of my car, but I forget about them.
I go into the store,
I load up with a bunch of groceries. And I go, oh crap.
You know what I do when I walk into the store? And I've played this game actually, so I know.
Okay.
Because I think it's a racket, because I don't think that money's actually going to save the
Chesapeake.
Yeah,
what is it doing?
It's a racket, it's another tax, F you. So what I do is I walk in and I say I have zero bags, and then I put everything in a bag and I walk right out. And I do that. And I do that on principle alone.
You do this with self checkout?
Yes.
So you steal. The bags,
the reusable bags.
I mean, how much are there? What am I doing? I give $25 to the Chesapeake every year.
Isn't just about the money. It's about keeping the plastic bags out of the Chesapeake that kill animals.
And
that's
since you do donate
about.
To the Chesapeake, I don't see why you shouldn't be robbing banks too.
Well,
no,
yeah.
It's
stealing.
It's self checkout.
Clearly steal. First of all, you're an
idiot. Now we've gotten. You know why? Because he worked in a grocery store.
First of all, you're an idiot.
Because he worked in a grocery store.
Oscar, you're smarter. Than I think you are, but you're stupid to do self-checkout because then you're doing their job for them.
I never do
self-checkout.
Okay, well, first of all, self-checkout does suck.
But self-checkout ought to be eliminated from all grocery stores.
But it's a shorter line in the long
run. It's always
okay.
Short.
Yes, but if you continue to patronize self-checkout, self-checkout will stay.
All right. Well, let's change the subject here since we ventured into this territory. Isn't it?
Do you hate MP3s?
Well, I mean,
adore them.
Can't we establish the fact that grocery stores have turned into the land of customer service suck now?
Yes.
With this self-checkout.
When I left the business, took a tremendous step down.
The only place that I know is great and is still great and I just discovered four years ago because I think they just had arrived to the D.C. area is a place called Wegmans.
Wegmans, probably the best checkout of anybody in the
and
grocery
I had
store
a,
I'll never go.
I had a great experience.
Why will you never go?
Because everyone tells me how great it is. I'm sick of it.
It's cheap.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's cheap, and you've got one literally you could do. You've
well,
got
I've got
one
two
within,
really close, but I also have the most glistening, sparkling, uninhabited giant you've ever seen.
And but aisle for aisle, Wegmans is cheaper on the basic stuff on the main in the main section of the grocery store. Studies have shown Wegmans cheaper than either Safeway or
and
Giant.
And they have staff.
Yeah.
Unlike Giant, well, the land of suck.
Trader Joe's.
Safeway, the well land of staff, suck, also. Where they don't have my staff giant, working there. And and Food Lion, don't get me started
don't
on
go
Food
there.
Lion,
no.
Where they wouldn't put a checkout person there if I'll you put you, a needle in their I'll, testicles.
I'll give you a perfect
and you've
example.
Tried.
I have.
So I don't know much about fish. You know I bought the dirty shrimp. I almost bought the dirty shrimp last year, right?
It wasn't dirty.
So
dirty
I went to...
The purple shrimp.
So with my new living situation, my lady likes fish. And
hey, no.
Hey, not that type of fish. Bada bing.
Stop it.
So,
what? I didn't say that.
We end up going to Whole Foods where I got the Chilean sea bass that I've been hunting for a while now.
Good stuff.
Because they don't offer it everywhere.
Overfished, Mr. Environment.
And there's a
Oscar
guy
with his spear going hunting for fish.
And there's a guy in back, the butcher or whatever you call him.
Fishmonger.
And behind the counter.
I think of the butcher now, that character on Magic City. The butcher shot the dog.
So
I'm on the phone.
So the guy in back, my lady asks, "Hey, we've never made sea bass before. How do you make it?" Mm-hmm. And the whole time in my head, I'm thinking of Dumb and Dumber, kick his ass, sea bass. But
right.
But she really wants to know how to make this Chilean sea bass. Yes. What do you do to prepare it?
You know, I'm a phone call away.
Well, I should know that
Thank
now.
Thank you very much.
But this gentleman at Whole Foods
in with a little butter and a quick sear
went into a dissertation about how you would prepare this, mm-hmm. And it was amazing. It felt nice. It was expensive,
right.
But it felt okay. I felt okay walking out of the store there.
Right. You
That's
got
a good thing.
You got real help.
When I was racing to Food Line for our grilling show,
yes.
To pick, because I thought my lady had eaten the Chilean sea bass
right.
That I bought for the show.
Mm-hmm.
When I was racing to Food Line, I picked up, what did I end up, a swordfish, right?
Yeah, so the tubercular swordfish.
Yeah, so I look at the guy and I'm like, hey, how do you prepare the swordfish? And he said, I don't really know, sir. I'm sorry. I just know the cut's right here.
There is no reason. There is no real reason why these sucky ones can't be like the good ones.
They can be better, right?
Because they're all the same. They're selling groceries.
He just didn't know or didn't. But tell me something.
Because they're just not. They're lazier.
It ain't rocket surgery.
They don't pay attention to it. You know, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Rocket surgery.
Oh, we got a show title.
We got to take a break. When we come back, Rob and I are going to talk about our favorite subject right after this.
It's too darn
hot. Welcome back.
It is too
to MichaelBarrisShow.com. We tell you all the time about our friends at Wait Not, and we're telling you this once again. It's changed so many lives that touch our lives. Wait Not is located at 855 Wait Not or 855-934-4486 or waitnot.com. They talk about the unbelievable results you can believe in, and we are delighted to be associated with so many success stories with Wait Not. Not only Mr. French, not only Mr. Spiewak, but the people that send us letters every
so
single
many
week
of
talking about how it changes their life. I just the other day was surfing on Mr. Tab Patterson. He had a very funny little segment about his motherboard for his refrigerator. And I looked up into the upper corner.
He really
corner,
does have a black cloud over his
and there,
head.
But there's Skinny Tab. He didn't have a black cloud when he lost over 80 pounds.
Well, the cloud is just much smaller now.
And he did it through Weight Not. And the thing about it is, as our society gets fatter and you're looking for quick fixes, because we love quick fixes in this country, and I will tell you, this is the best. I mean, this gets you started like no other program, mm-hmm. And I think it's absolutely incredible.
I think the reason I don't care so much about global warming is when you lose 70 pounds, you're not as hot.
There you go.
Yeah, so I can deal with it.
Not nearly as hot.
No. My mother, who will never really learn how to speak English, God bless her soul.
Yes.
She has lost almost 40 pounds on weight.
There you go, Mrs. Santana. So Mama Santana. Find out what everybody else knows about unbelievable results you can believe in. WaitNot.com or call them and speak to Christy. She's one of my favorite people over there. 855-934-4486 for WaitNot. Okay, this from, what is the name of this? The Huffington Post, a publication we know well.
Commie.
From, yes, the from the in fact, let me call it that. From the communist Huffington Post, Savannah Guthrie.
Oh, wow.
Has officially been asked to replace Ann Curry as the co-host of Today, according to multiple reports on Tuesday night.
Yes.
Wow, that's excellent. And you see, that's a surprise because the rumor going into that was that they were going to go with Hoda.
Are you ready for me to take a right turn here?
Yeah.
Nobody has railed against Ann Curry like I have railed against Ann Curry. I do not like her broadcast style. She is overly emotional. It's depressing. I hate it. This, what they are doing to her.
Oh, it's classless.
It is so despicable. I say screw that. I'm really ready because of that to bail.
Yesterday they hit her in the head with a camera.
Yeah, did you see that tape?
I don't understand what's going on. What do you mean?
Well, they're letting her twist in the wind. This is not fair.
It's all been there. It's show business, baby.
It's show business. Okay, tough guy. You've been there. A little empathy for the lady.
I've been fired 4 times.
Okay, I've been fired
twice.
It
hurts less later on.
You know what? Today might be 5.
But the thing is, she's got to come out and be on camera and smile nice. Yeah. And act I think it's a terrible thing that they're doing.
No one should have to do that, right,
First
Mike?
Of all, the Today Show's problems really are not Ann Curry. The Today Show's problems are located in the management chain at NBC.
Oh, yeah.
They have first of all, and the fact is, if they're offering it to Savannah Guthrie, that means they're doing the same effing thing they did the last time, which is they're going in-house, which, we had a boss that did that. Mm-hmm. All his hires were in-house.
Yeah.
And they don't work.
They don't work.
You go out and you go on a talent search and you do, God forbid, you hire the best. Broadcast companies don't do this anymore.
What you've got with the Today Show, and people tend to forget this when they're once again bringing in the Scottos to cook or bringing in the family with 47 children.
Right.
This is
lazy.
The NBC News department.
Yes.
And it's the crown jewel.
More so now.
Of NBC News.
With Cablevision.
And it is the greatest, it was at one point, the greatest news organization in America.
These news organizations, you know, hats off to our old company, CBS, for at least trying.
Yeah.
At least bringing in Charlie Rose to say, we're going to take our news a little bit more seriously.
Yes.
You got this. When I read this about Savannah Guthrie, I'm like, oh, come on.
You know what?
Guys.
I think it's a step in the right direction, but it's not the right step. She is great as a legal analyst because she has a legal background.
Right.
Keep her where she's
at. It's a good step, but not the best step.
No,
not
it's
the
not.
Best step
no,
they could have taken.
On the eyes.
The Hollywood Reporter and the New York Times, you know, and I'm watching
Massive
Ann.
Head.
I think really, I'm watching Ann Curry now saying, I think Ann's already gone. I don't think she has any desire.
Oh, yeah, but
she wears those sensible shifts that are just absolutely 1960s.
I hear they're going to move her as a foreign correspondent because they're going to have to pay her $3 million a year, I think it is.
That's being negotiated
now. Or not to work.
How bad can you feel? I don't know where I heard this, but somebody said that they felt bad for Conan O'Brien and the drama that he went through with Jay Leno.
Right.
And then as we sit here, and you want to root for what's right, and you want to root for what's great and what's moral and the way you would like to be treated in that situation. Mm-hmm. But I will say, while money cannot buy you happiness, that when you take that sort of payout, whether it be a $43 million plus payout that Conan supposedly got, or the $3 million a year that she's going to have to be paid, I'm not feeling so bad for her.
Yeah, the money makes it a little bit easier. I just hate it when I watch management do what we've seen them do
so many
times.
And I also
and what it comes from, really, I think more often than not, is incompetence, where they're just not ready to make a fist and make a
decision.
They're
not ballsy.
We feel badly for her in this situation, not only because we've been in that situation, but those of us who do this for a living, it isn't just a career. It defines us. It's what we do for a living, I think we take far more personally.
It's cowardice. Guys, the three times.
The management?
The 4 times that I've lost my job in broadcast.
Mm-hmm. But who's counting?
Yeah, well, you got to count. If you don't, you cry. Yes.
That's not how it goes.
They don't tell you.
Right.
And the reason why they say they don't tell you is because they want to make a big splash, a big surprise.
Yeah.
They don't tell you. Because they're cowards.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But what they're doing with Ann Curry is worse, is they kind of, and believe me, they've got a tight rein on what is said and what isn't said. I honestly feel that for the last couple weeks, NBC has been floating out feelers to get an internet or national reaction to letting her go. Mm-hmm. Because if there had been a huge backlash that said, oh, keep her, they can't let Ann Curry
proceeding
go.
Proceeding cautiously.
Now, again, this is also cowardice, but this is cowardice and underhanded.
No, but guys, I don't know enough about television, but I want to believe that television has more money than radio. And while we can't compare those two, that they probably already saw the ratings and said, this isn't working.
Oh, yeah.
We have to change something.
Oh, I'm sure that's
GMA
that's
beat
part
them
of it.
So
times,
they decided to say, okay, we're going to probably, and Think about in radio, we were going to flip stations, and we started talking about more sports in our situation probably 6 months out.
Right.
So they almost gave us a shot to see what could possibly happen.
True.
Or helped us ramp their old new station up.
Sure.
But with them, I think it's only been a month, because I just started watching today's show. You were hating on it for 6 months about Ann Curry, and I didn't understand it until I watched it, and I said, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is depressing. Genuinely bad. It's awkward. That guy, Matt Lauer, who I just started realizing was a big swinging D.
Right.
Is hates her. They don't have good chemistry.
But the thing
work.
Is, this to me, once again, you bring in this woman, Ann Curry, because it was because Meredith Vieira decided she was going to leave.
Yes.
And this was a quick, easy, lazy, cowardly fix.
Right.
As opposed to at that point, you say, you're losing a superstar. She's moving on. You have to enlist all your resources and work hard to put through. But
for
no, it's easier because you know why it's easier?
Yeah.
Here's the cowardly factor. Ann Curry obviously is going to pitch a fit if they give it to somebody else because she thinks she's the heir apparent.
Next in line.
So that's how you're placating her, which is the easy, cowardly move there. Secondly, the lazy move comes in where you're not going outside of the company
team.
to get somebody in.
It also happened during a management shift. This was when Cablevision was first taking over the operation of NBC.
Just a terrible,
occurred.
Really, right, I think we can all agree,
bad timing.
Really a terrible hire.
You know, it was
on the
a smart hire, what they did, is when they brought in Katie Couric, because she was a young, still sort of finding her way broadcaster, obviously had it together. She had a good tape.
Immediately successful.
But immediately successful, and also someone new for the Today Show viewer to get to know. And you know what? Sometimes that's part of the fun.
Right.
And what we got is not just Ann, but more Ann.
Who,
and we didn't want that.
Right.
No. Who's the young lady on CNN at night?
Erin Burnett.
That girl would be perfect.
Right.
And
they actually had her for two broadcasts.
Yes.
And they let her go. They let her slip right through
and
her fingers.
She is so good
and
so competent. And what it comes down
and
to
hot.
Is just, in her own way, like really kind of unique hot.
I think in anybody's way, she's hot.
And then I think once again, you lost Amy Robach. Who was another one who was, you know, really, and look, I don't want to sound sexist, but I am.
The password is Minx.
Because she's hot.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And she's great, and she's intelligent and gorgeous, and that combination is just so great.
Do you think that Matt is better at the desk when he's with someone that he wants to bone?
Because absolutely.
Because I think he is,
sure.
too.
Clearly, he's trying to impress.
Have you ever seen him with David Gregory?
Yeah.
Speaking of hot, it looks like that Regis thing is going to happen too. Yeah,
we're
talking to Regis about doing hour 10 with Kathy Lee.
I'll give you that example. You've got Regis that leaves Regis and Kelly,
and that's all about money.
But then they bring in all these guys,
guest hosts.
Yeah, and that show is, I don't know what the ratings are for that show.
What do you think they would have done? What would you have done if you ran the network?
If I was running the network, I would really go for the same thing that Regis was, which was iconic, older, much older.
Plugged in to New York.
And somebody plugged in. If you can, but you do a... It is once again I would imagine it's not a lazy factor because Gelman's working his ass off to coordinate these schedules with people that are coming in there. But I would really, at a certain point, you would do that.
But you
instead,
know what?
If they bring in what I think Kelly wants, which are these Ken dolls.
They've dicked around too long with
if
it.
You ran
it's too late. It's
but if you
that
ran
ship
the
is sailed.
If you ran the network, you would have given Regis what he wanted because you would have realized that the show is Regis.
The talent.
Yeah, it is frustrating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Hollywood Reporter and the New York Times wrote that NBC News had formally offered the job to Savannah Guthrie, currently one of the hosts of the show's third hour. Guthrie was widely seen as the favorite to replace Curry, who has been the subject of intense media scrutiny ever since last Wednesday. That's when news broke that after a troubled year at Today, NBC was negotiating an exit deal with Ann Curry. The Hollywood Reporter's Marissa Guthrie, no relation, wrote Tuesday that Curry will not leave NBC News entirely. She has been with the network since 1990, rising from Chicago correspondent to co-host one of the most iconic programs. Blah, 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 blah. So while the Times reported that Guthrie has not formally accepted NBC's offer yet, it would be a shock if she turned it down. Mm-hmm. For her, the Today job represents the culmination of a meteoric rise in the ranks of the network. In just 4 years, she has landed in one of the most coveted jobs in the news business. They're making a mistake. Just wanted to say that.
I disagree with you.
And I like Savannah Guthrie. Mm-hmm. Savannah Guthrie is a competent, Very good broadcaster.
A good choice, not the right choice.
She's not a superstar.
Right. When right. I watch but her,
got to be a superstar.
When I watch
guys.
Her with Brian
she
Williams,
she lacks comfort though. She lacks
she
comfort.
She kills
on air.
It.
But I have a theory. I mean, I know we part company here, but I've always had a theory that the Today Show is like USA Today. The DJs care about it a lot more than regular working folks who get up in the morning and go to their jobs.
That's probably true. But I will say, I don't even know why we're having this conversation because Jenna Bush is on that program.
Well, she would be perfect.
You know, you're right. And there's any credibility that a broadcast has.
Not man, much anymore. We've watched her be back.
But the fact that she's still on does not make sense.
Right.
I was sitting there with Shannon, and I said, watch this. And I'm not, look, I would like to see Jenna Bush succeed because it looks like something that she's really passionate about, wow. And I respect that.
You can tell that you see something.
No.
If
you're willing to fail in front of millions of people over and over again and get up and try again, you kind of start rooting for her.
Let me, for the purpose of argument, let me read one of these paragraphs in my best Jenna Bush style.
Okay.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
Today's executive producer, Jim Bell, is set to participate in a conference call with reporters on Wednesday afternoon. The topic is ostensibly NBC. Oh, I'm sorry. I have to reread that. The topic is NBC's Olympics coverage, which Bell is also overseeing. But it is possible that network executives did not want Bell talking to the press without some kind of resolution onto the situation at Today.
Her face, it looks like she's pained.
Oh, yes.
She's got the same look her mother had, which is if you have that vacuous grin, you can get away with everything. Everything is just like...
They've done everything now when Jenna Bush does a piece. They've done everything except read the copy for her. She's no longer in studio to introduce it because that requires talking.
All right, we are going way too deep into the Today Show right now.
I'm far more concerned with the downslide of the nightly news at this point.
We have covered the Today Show, and there are a lot of people that are going, enough
with the Today Show. But what about Hoda? Where does Hoda land?
Yeah, whatever. Anyway. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
You got to watch the news.
You'd like to see Hoda get the job, wouldn't you?
No.
Who would you like?
I would like to see Hoda get the news desk in the morning. I would like to see Natalie Morales removed.
Who would you do, Savannah or Hoda?
Oh, I would do Savannah.
Yeah, okay, in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I've said it before. Hoda Kotb is as ugly as a tree full of owls.
Here you go. Who would you do, Erin Burnett or Amy Robach?
I'd do Burnett.
Yeah. Really? That's tough.
Huh? Yeah, it is tough, but...
I think Burnett would be a little wilder.
You might be right. You might have sold me on that one.
When you watch the newsroom... You'll wish that's what really goes down.
You must get to that.
Partial view last night and just an amazing, so Aaron Sorkin-y.
Oh, yeah.
But so Sorkin-y. Terrific. It's weird. Last night, my TV viewing, I actually watched a little of The Network. Uh-huh. And
The Newsroom. Right.
And I watched broadcast news. Uh-huh. And it was so funny to watch
good coupling.
The same kind of stuff, you know, 30 years later, in the case of broadcast news, 30 years earlier,
can you name everyone in the cabinet?
They're only 12. So it really was amazing to watch that Aaron Sorkin stuff, but it ain't like that, gang. It ain't, you know, really, I wish it was.
No.
I found myself watching that show and saying, boy, I really wish that there was some news organization out there that covered
the
BP disaster. Like, that's what they're trying to do.
They're setting themselves apart in that way. But I think some of the debates are real. And I think some of the personalities are real.
I just like the speeches.
Yes. That's why I watch Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah, the speeches are just what I think news organizations should be.
I felt the same way when I used to watch WKRP in Cincinnati when I was growing up. I said, I hope radio stations are like that.
Yeah, they're not.
No. Everyone wears headphones.
Well, they kind of are.
Lots of banging.
I'll tell you, in small market radio, we could have seen Cincinnati.
The sales guy wore a plaid coat. That was real.
That was real.
The general manager was clueless. That was real.
That was real.
The morning host was cynical and arrogant. I think pretty true. I think it was
And
pretty,
then the evening DJ
true.
Was smoking a lot of weed.
Yes.
That's real, too. Maybe you're right. KRP was real. But they never threw those turkeys out of the plane.
No, that
was the only thing. No. I really love this show. I think this show's got a message that goes out to all news organizations as we now have turned into, you know, really this fractured media you get a station, a network like Fox that really is what they're accused of being.
It's a fun story that makes you think.
I mean, I would love to see, a news show that you could turn on. Really, the only place you find that now are the comedy news shows, The Daily Show. I mean, that's kind of where you get that from. I'd love to see somebody really kind of taken an editorial position. And really, because what you get CBS, NBC, and ABC constantly accused of being the mainstream liberal media.
Right, right. That's right, Gordon.
Which I really don't think they are. I think that, you know, when you want to look about, I'll give you an example of this. CBS News, for example, who covers the White House? A guy by the name of Bill Plant.
Right. Right.
Bill Plant's son. All you have to do is listen to 10 seconds of what this guy has to say, and it would seem to me that when a son has that political viewpoint, maybe you get that from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Got to come from somewhere,
you got to wonder where that comes from. Right. That's why I've always thought about that.
However,
you know,
as mainstream and
we're talking about a right-wing guy that's on the radio here in Washington.
Whether or not they have an agenda, when you see Brian Williams outside of NBC News when he does a talk show or something, I don't know that there's anyone more informed, more engaging. And I think he's pretty great, and I wish he could bring some of his viewpoint to the nightly news. I think it would benefit from
Wouldn't it be cool? I mean, I think we all fantasize about the fact that this character in the broadcast that Jeff, is it the broadcast?
Network
the
News.
The newsroom.
Well, it's a horrible title.
The Newsroom.
It's a shitty name for a show.
It's in a newsroom.
The Newsroom. You know why? It doesn't have any bite to it.
No sizzle.
That's just a great show.
That's why I blog. I really wish that everybody can look at this because it's a fantasy.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun to watch, and it's great dialogue. Mm-hmm. And so I give it my thumbs up. I got them all TiVo'd, and I can't wait to watch
it. And it's called The Jeff Daniels Show.
The Jeff Daniels Show.
The
Newsroom.
On box office.
You know why? You know why? It doesn't. I think that every time I go for that name, that title, I want it to be a little bit more modern.
Yeah.
And it's not, and it doesn't fit with what it is, which is kind of cutting edge and very state of
mind. I think it should just be called Daniels.
Daniels. How about this?
With an exclamation mark. Yes.
How about this? News and Dumber.
I like that. Yeah.
That's what I'd like to see.
See, now we've solved it.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, Mr. Spiewak has the audio vault and didn't get to half the crap I wanted to get to today. We'll be right back with more fun and more thrills of the Michael Barry Show. Welcome back.
I was thinking of the mage, Mike.
To MikeOMaraShow.com. Rob's Magic Audio Vault is brought to you by Brighter.com. We talked about this yesterday. We tell you again today that a lot of people have insurance programs that are not really taking care of their teeth. And the fact is, mine is included. When I got my new insurance, my latest incarnation of insurance, they said, oh, you get a checkup, but that's it. Fillings, crowns, if you know you need to get dentures, God forbid, and I'm certainly cruising down the highway to that.
No. I give you 8 months.
You don't get coverage. And especially in this day and age of our modern insurance programs we have, many people's dental coverage is not covered sufficiently. This is a company that's here to help you. They're called Brighter.com. They're better than dental insurance because there is never a cap on how much you can save. Uh-huh. You can use it with hundreds of dentists near you for as little as $9 a month. You pay a fee. It's kind of like when I talk to the good people at Brighter.com, they explain to me this is very similar to a Costco situation where they bring a lot of people in. They have great relationships with dentists, and this little club allows you to get incredible discounts on all your dental work. For example, you can save around $100 on an exam, $150 on a filling, up to $700 on a crown. This is really going to help a lot of people out. Go to Brighter.com to choose from the yearly plans that are right for you. Sign up this week and get a free Oral-B battery-powered toothbrush when you purchase and use the code TMOS. Just click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner of the screen to enter the code, or use the same code at 800-560-1200. Brighter.com. They're going to help you save money on your dental work. Go get those teeth fixed.
Yeah, Mike.
It's the way we should do it. Opened it up. What do we have?
With your dentures?
Yeah, my dentures.
Thank you for opening the thing. I want to take a look at Mike Tyson, because he's been doing some talk show stuff.
I don't shower much.
He's got a Broadway show.
You can't live in my world, bitch. You can't last a second in my world, bitch.
Spike Lee is directing him at his one-man show on Broadway. And that, sounds like a punchline.
I would take a train ride to Manhattan specifically to see that.
Mike Tyson has a one-man show on Broadway?
You would be so miserable if you did that.
I don't think I would be.
I don't know.
All right.
Here he is talking. He was on Pardon the Interruption talking about when he was breaking up with Robin Givens and that he was trying to sort of get back with her in certain ways.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But there was something that sealed the deal that gave him. He just said, nah, you know what? No more.
During my divorce with Robin Givens, you know, while we're on television calling each other scoundrels, I'm still going back.
I love anyone who uses the word scoundrel.
They would call me a scoundrel.
And they were calling each other scoundrels. Yes.
She was a bitch, and she would call me such a scoundrel that I didn't understand why the... You know, I'm doing a one-man show with Spike Lee.
How do you like it?
Doesn't it make it two men?
It's great. It's one scene when I'm on stage in Broadway. We got this whole tiger comes out.
Is there dancing?
Huh?
Dancing?
No, f*** no.
Okay, language. Whoa. Let's get back to the tape.
You're my divorce with Robin Givens, you know. While we're on television calling each other scoundrels, I'm still going back to our house hitting it, though, right? One particular day before I go to my lawyer to say how horrible this person is and stuff, I say maybe I give it another try.
Sure.
So I'm getting ready to go over there. Knocking on the door. No one shows up.
No one.
I'm heading back to my car to go to my lawyer to say this is really a dreadful woman now, right? But as I'm going to my car, I see her car coming up. So as she comes forward, and you wouldn't believe who's in the car with her.
Who?
Brad Pitt. So you have to understand this. At the moment, you know, I'm starting. I'm like a stallion with a, you know, man, I'm ready to roll. But when I see him, I'm a wet noodle. So after that, my whole... sex analogy just went out the window and stuff. I didn't even think about slugging him or killing him, man. All the fight was knocked out of me after seeing that.
So he was knocking
Mike
on the
Tyson
door.
Mike Tyson, afraid of Brad Pitt.
Is anybody with me? I would go up and see this show.
Yeah.
See him on stage?
Yeah. Yes.
I think Mike Tyson is a remarkably compelling personality. He would be fascinating. This guy, one of the great villains of sports, but yet lovable at the same time.
What
I mean, you
a
don't,
story.
And you know what? And always, it really... He has always been who he is.
Yes.
You know, good, bad, ugly, yes. All the way.
And
I would love to see this.
He's changed a little bit, Mike. He's now a vegan. A vegan.
Is he a vegan?
Yeah, vegan when you eat nothing that is an animal product.
Right.
He discussed that on the Today Show last week. So we're doing a block of Mike Tyson here. Wow. Here's Mike Tyson on being a vegan.
Oh, you're a vegan?
Yeah, yeah.
What changed you?
Wow, I need, I just threw up the white flag. There was too many prison cells, too many jails, too many lawsuits, too many bankruptcies, too many women, too many venereal diseases, too many everything. I got tired. I really got tired of, you know, like every time my prostitute girlfriend came back for a trip, I had to sleep with her. You know, so I used to.
Okay, every time my prostitute girlfriend came back from a trip, I had to sleep with her. I don't see the connection between that.
Well, you're
and
not it, Mike Tyson.
Well, that's true.
He doesn't know what vegan
can't,
stands
I can't possibly. Tell you how little you that right. matters to me.
All right.
I just open his mouth. I am entertained.
All right. Yeah. Well,
everything
more.
He says entertains
we
me.
We got more.
Live a different life.
Hey, wait a minute.
Live a different life.
But you made a conscious
choice. You're right, champ.
I'm sorry. I was a prostitute hunter.
Okay, let me stop you there.
He was a prostitute hunter, right? Everyone needs a hobby.
Show on the Discovery Channel.
Oh, God.
But you know what? It's, you know, also this sort of resurgence in being on talk shows and stuff has gotten him a new ad. It's only airing in Poland.
Okay.
And it's for a Polish energy drink. I'm sorry. I swore I could say that without laughing. It's a Polish energy drink called Black. Let's go to the tape for the commercial.
I may be a beast, can't control my fist, but what you should fear is my buddy here. They say that I'm rough, unpredictable and stuff,
but the skin has more guts. Take a sip and go nuts. That's how Black works.
See, the weird thing is I always thought it was a Polish energy drink had Benadryl in it.
That is, there's nothing about him that I am not entertained by.
All right, well, we'll see.
I'm not a fan. I don't like his behavior. I certainly don't like what he's done in the past, but he entertains me.
We will see you on the Great White Way.
What do you think is going to be more successful, the Charlie Sheen road tour or Mike Tyson's stage show?
The Broadway show will be more successful.
You know, here's the thing. In this day and age of Broadway, you know, when we're now, what's the latest ad I saw? The Addams Family.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah.
Thanks again for another great original idea.
That was not a hit on Broadway. Now it's touring.
And it's touring, and it's just crap. And, you know, all these comic books that they're now trying, there's nothing original. So the only way we get original is from an original personality.
I suppose. Right.
And that's why I would sit there in the audience and enjoy
that.
Did
you see on the Today Show they were promoting that
we
Dragon?
Don't watch that
Dragon stage show?
Yeah, that actually looks
pretty interesting. amazing.
Just on the special effects, that really does look kind of neat.
I have never seen a Broadway show.
You've never seen a Broadway show? What do you...
The Monty Python show is great.
In any stage show, what would you look for?
Transformers?
Yes.
You'd like the Spider-Man.
Vin Diesel? Yeah.
You'd like Spider-Man.
The Spider-Man, I heard that they have problems with that production, so I wouldn't want to waste my money. I've never seen one.
I'll tell you, this is the best way that I can describe Broadway. I've seen probably...
Narrow seats?
I've seen very narrow seats. I've seen more Broadway than most people in this room, and I will
everybody
tell you this.
By choice?
Some by choice, but also raised on it, because I had an aunt that lived down in during the Mad Men era. She worked for Sterling Draper.
Oh, that's right. Used to go down there.
And so we'd go down and see it all the time. So I saw my first Broadway musical when I was 13 years old. Mm-hmm. And the one that I saw was a little tiny musical. It's kind of successful. It was called Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah.
With Topol in the original lead role.
I've heard of
it. I was hooked from that point forward.
Are you sure it wasn't Zero?
It was Topol.
Oh, was it? Okay.
It was Topol. And the thing about Broadway is what I love more than anything else, it's the talent.
Mm-hmm.
The talent it's the greatest talent you'll ever see.
Yeah they are
singing,
good. They're
dancing,
really...
doing this. It's just the best. Okay. And that's where the best goes.
I'd hope to see one.
So
one
that's
day,
that's
so.
Very cool.
The greatest evening I ever spent with my father was taking him to see The Producers with Nathan Lane.
Just great.
It was amazing.
Just great. Rob and I are theater queens.
But when they travel, that's not your A group, right?
No
that's
right.
usually your B group.
The B squad.
It's usually pretty good.
Yeah, they don't
but it's
suck.
Not.
It's a Globetrotters.
But seriously, the real, that's another thing about it. When you see the road shows in your different cities, it ain't. When you're on Broadway, that's where all the, because they don't have to travel.
That's
it's
right.
A big they thing in the theater community.
Now, you recently flew. You had a nice flight, right?
Yeah, it was pretty good after we finally got on the plane.
Any trouble with TSA?
No, this time not at all.
I'll tell you who had trouble with TSA, Mike, was a guy named John Gross.
Okay.
Let's go to his story right now.
They opened up my bag and I told him, please be careful. These are my grandpa's ashes. She picked up the jar. She opened it up. I was told later on that she had no right to even open it, that they could have used other devices like an x-ray machine. And so she opened it up. She used her finger and was sifting through it, and then she accidentally spilled it. Oh. She didn't apologize. She started laughing.
What?
I was on my hands and knees picking up bone fragments. Oh. You know, I couldn't pick up everything that was lost. Yeah. I mean, there was a long line behind me. I want an apology. I want an apology from TSA.
Yep.
I want an apology from the lady who opened the jar and laughed at me.
Yep.
I want them to help me understand where they get off treating people like
this. And with the total revamping of the way they're making us go through security and the fact that they broke regulations to spill these ashes, it's senseless.
They wanted to make sure Grandpa didn't have his shoes on at the time.
That's right.
Oh. You know.
And by the way, Carrie and I had a talk. When they cremate a body, do they do it clothed or naked?
I believe nude.
I would think so.
Ugh.
What they do is they put you in another vessel, which is cardboard,
right?
And then they, but I'm not sure whether they do what they do, and that's probably a question that I didn't want to ask at the time.
Well, I know, I didn't think you would ask it, but I mean, in retrospect, I bet it's new.
I think you are a sick, twisted, disgusting individual that you
they,
have. Those
they have.
Well,
hearts.
No, I was having a talk with my wife, and don't wreck that. That doesn't happen all that much because there was back and forth.
But really, they should apologize.
They should. And it's stupid that it
publicly
in the first place that it shouldn't have happened.
While you were playing that clip, I was thinking about TSA, which I just went through this past weekend, and I was thinking about, here's one of the problems with TSA. Everything that we deal with, whether it's the Secret Service, whether it's police officers, there are certain times when they have to present a certain front, and then there are other times they don't. I happen to have a lot of police officers that are friends of mine, and I see them with their hair down, and they're having a good time. I also see them in their professional capacity when, say, they're giving an escort to a bunch of servicemen.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I think that the front line of TSA, when we're going through that, they have to start acting more like a professional organization.
I agree.
Right? Not joking, not laughing with each other, not wandering around like National Airport where it just looked like a coffee clatch where everybody's having a great time.
I've seen it at Dulles,
and, you know,
too.
That image when he says she even laughed, I am not surprised at that at all.
Not at all.
No. Based on their lack of professionalism, now, I'm sure they're trained to look for the bad stuff, and they do a good job with that. Mm. They have to go further than that. These people have to be present more of a professional front and when they're dealing with the public.
Authoritarian, too.
Right.
Yeah, I want to be impressed, and we should be.
You can also deal with about one-tenth of them.
Yeah.
You don't need nearly the people we have there.
Subject change. We talked about the Jeff Daniels show. Jeff Daniels did the Craig Ferguson show. And did
the newsroom.
Did you know that he's a pretty good guitarist and singer?
I love this clip.
This is pretty funny. This is
this the last one you got here? Because we got a break.
We can close on this.
Let's close with this.
I was going to close with a Nora Ephron thing. So can you give me two?
Yeah, I'll give you two. Okay. Absolutely.
I would say this is Jeff Daniels singing on the Craig Ferguson show.
Last night, Jeff Daniels was here and we ran out of time and he couldn't do the song. So we invited him back to start tonight's show with a song. Are you ready, Jeff?
I am, Craig.
I really hope it's good.
Neil Sedaka wrote a song called Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. I wrote a breaking up song called Baby Take Your Tongue Out of My Mouth and Kissing You Goodbye. You walk in, I walk out. We ain't got nothing we can talk about, baby. Take your tongue out of my mouth. Kissing you goodbye. I said I love you and you said I love me too. Then the next thing I know you're wearing round heel shoes. Take your tongue out of my mouth. I'm kissing you goodbye. If love means never having to say you're sorry, I apologize. Whoever said it's better to have loved and lost than never loved at all ought to give you a call. I may be a fool, but I ain't fooling around. Oh, you don't kick a dog when that dog is down. Take your tongue out of my mouth, honey, kissing you goodbye. Oh, take your tongue out of my mouth, I'm kissing you goodbye. Big finish!
I like that a lot.
That's funny.
That's great. And,
Jeff Daniels is a funny guy.
Right down.
And close with, you were going to talk about it today. I know you're a fan. I'm a fan,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'll cover it now.
Really please do.
Nora Ephron is, you know, chick flick. That's really how you would describe her films that were successful. When Harry Met Sally, also Sleepless in Seattle, a couple other ones.
She's
got a screenwriting credit for Silkwood, and that was nominated. Mm-hmm, and, you know, she's really, really a talented lady. Married to Carl Bernstein of All the President's Men. Actually wrote a script for All the President's Men that was not accepted, but she worked with Carl Bernstein
and
on that script.
And also married to Nick Pileggi, the other writer.
Yeah, that was her latest husband. And really, really just a very talented lady.
And I hate, she died young for nowadays, 71, and it was leukemia that took her.
Yep.
And, you know, Robert, because of leukemia.
Julie and Julia, her latest film.
It always strikes me, and it makes me realize how lucky we were that Robert beat it, and it makes me very sad that she didn't.
I think the reason I put a note down about Nora Ephron, because really, as much as she was a, you know, romantic comedy kind of chick flick lady, I really thought her stuff was pretty amazing. She
really was
brilliantly funny.
Yeah, I think Harry Met Sally transcended chick flick.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, of course, everybody saw that. Yeah.
And speaking of When Harry Met Sally, I'd like to close today with, you know, there are people that write screenplays and have many, many films made, and they never do anything that's quite as memorable as this.
Right.
This is the scene in the diner from When Harry Met Sally.
One of the greatest scenes in film.
Yes.
Oh. Ooh.
Are you okay?
Oh, God. Ooh. Oh, God. Oh. 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 Oh, God. Oh, yeah, right there. Oh. 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 Oh, God. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Oh, oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Oh, 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 God. Oh.
I'll have what she's having.
I love how quiet this room got.
Yeah,
you gotta stop.
Mess that up.
That's you know, not only Nora Ephron, but that's really a tribute to Meg Ryan.
Well, safe home. She will be missed, and it's very, very sad. That's your Magic Audio Vault.
There was a time we couldn't play that.
So we'll take a break, and we'll come back with Buzz's News right after that. Yeah, remember those days?
Yeah.
Welcome back to MikeOMaraShow.com. Without further ado, let's get right to it. He's standing by with the news. Here's Buzz.
Brought to you today by Clores Perry Mitchell. Medical malpractice does happen, even at military facilities. KPM is experienced, passionate representation with some of the biggest personal injury and medical malpractice awards in the area. KPM, where you talk to a professional, not an operator, and the conversations are free. KPM is where other firms send their toughest cases and has the resources to take on the biggest defendants, and they do. With 30 years experience and service to the community, Clores Perry Mitchell, 202-628-8100 or clores.com for more information. Each case is unique. Case results depend on various factors. Past performance not indicative of future results. Scott Perry, attorney at law.
These guys, the thing that they wanted me to stress to all of you,
yes,
a lot of people are terrified to deal with law firms.
Right.
And KPM is one of these firms that is a behemoth. They are big guys. They take on the big guys as well. So if you're in a situation where you might have a little hesitation, they want to make it real clear to you that these guys have the juice to take care of your case. They really do, but they're not going to charge you, and they will give you that free initial consultation. That is the most important thing to remember. If you're sitting there on the sidelines saying, I don't want to get involved with the system, I don't want to get involved in a legal action because I'm worried and I'm afraid, really give that number one more time for people that that want to call them.
It is 202-628-8100.
They really, really want people that might be afraid to deal with law firms to come to them, because they will make that call and they will take you on what's called contingency, which means they think they've got a good case and you've got a good case. Mm-hmm. They're going to take on these big guys and get involved with the bad guys and get you the results that you need. So please check them out. Thanks a lot.
Would no news be good news? The head of a Russian political party is suggesting that country's journalist take a one-month vacation so the public can get out from under what he calls news pressure. He says the flood of mostly bad news is harmful to people's health, and he says journalists could probably benefit from the time off as well. Rhetorical question in my case. In this country, a cry has gone out across the land over Facebook's decision to give everyone a default email address of @facebook.com.
It was very similar, very much like that.
The idea was to protect the privacy of Facebook users, especially the younger ones, and Facebook says it's surprised by the negative reaction, especially since users can easily change their own default email address back to what it was
if they wish. They're lying. They're not surprised, because every time they change anything, everyone goes...
There's always a great cry, and that's all Facebook ever wants to do is change.
And you know what? It's not that easy to change it back.
Well, the reality is, now that it's a public company, and we touched on this in Tech 401 this week, that they need to make money. And Todd Moore actually makes this point. He says they're going to they now feel the pressure to make money,
right,
and to actually show that this company is growing.
Sure.
And they would,
especially with the disaster, the debacle that was IPO.
And they would love to be the next Google.
Right.
Like a one-stop shop.
Right.
Why would Google get into the social networking business? Because they wanted to be a part of Facebook.
That's right.
So why would you get a Facebook email address? Because they would like you to try it out.
It's very, very difficult when you get something that's successful because it's comfortable to constantly be tweaking it. And that's what they're doing. And they got to be careful because they are publicly traded now. And I think that they could, you know, 1, 2, 3 missteps in a row, you might have a company that's coming along knocking on their door.
Mike and I are one step away from going back to Friendster.
Absolutely.
If you own
LinkedIn.
If you own a Mac.
LinkedIn.
If you own a Mac, everyone thinks you have more money than if you own a PC. The
that's
travel site Orbitz certainly thinks so. That's why Orbitz tracks the kind of computer you're using to visit the site, and when it detects the arrival of a Mac user, it automatically displays more expensive hotel choices than it shows to PC users.
I had a lot of money before I bought a Mac, and then I bought the Mac. Now I don't have any money at all.
But you know what? I'm okay with that, because when we're talking about the problems that Facebook has, you see this guy? These guys know what they're doing. These guys have never given me. I get nothing but satisfaction out of this company right here. This company makes me happy all the time.
And for those people people who are listening and not watching, Mike is grabbing his junk.
Thank you very much.
Orbit says PC users make less than $75,000 a year and choose cheaper hotel rooms. It says Mac users make $90,000 a year or more and like the nicer hotels.
Hey, Mark, I want to get Hotwire as a client. And I will tell you why I want to get Hotwire as a client, because that's how much I like Hotwire.
Okay.
I truly, truly do. I've used a lot of them. I've used them all. I like Hotwire. There. I said it, and now I want them as a client.
All right.
Because I just gave them a free commercial.
Strong.
Thank you very much.
Done and done.
Thank you.
Orbits. Need a lozenge?
Orbits, meanwhile, says Mac users.
I'll tell you about Hotwire.
Orbits has found that Mac users are willing to spend up to one-third more for their rooms, their hotel rooms, than our PC users.
Orbits is BS.
And the people who brought us Farmville, Words with Friends, and Draw Something have a new game, a sex game.
Ooh.
At the Ville. You can build a virtual dream house in which you can have virtual sex.
Okay.
Although the avatars don't get completely naked, they do undress and disappear into the virtual bedroom.
Okay.
And players can easily click over their opponent's real-life Facebook page. Click over to the real-life Facebook page.
God. I'm sorry, my finger slipped.
It's not a done deal yet, but the student loan crisis may get fixed before this weekend's deadline if the House doesn't go along with what the Senate just did. Student loan interest rates will double this weekend. Democrats and Republicans in the Senate have come to an agreement now on a deal the White House also likes. So now it's up to John Boehner and his contrarian Republicans in the House to go along or not. If you're looking for love, go looking for a job first. A new survey says 75% of women say they will not date a guy who's unemployed.
Oh, hey, they'll marry him, though.
Yes, they will.
Thank you. Thanks, Carla.
Men are less picky, of course. 65% of men say being a jobless woman is not a problem.
And they'll buy motorcycles.
Yay!
How about
that? Thank you, honey.
Men are less picky. Sometimes they'll date women without a heartbeat.
Necrophilia.
Sometimes that makes the news. Although Obama and Romney virtually tied in the polls, Obama has the lead in three key swing states, Florida, Ohio, and Pennsylvania.
Swings,
and no
baby.
Candidates ever won the White House without winning at least two of those three states. Another poll shows that although the economy is the big issue in this election, a majority of us don't think either guy will be able to fix what's broken. What's the point of even having an election?
I know. But that, you know, I was I wrote this down today, Bus. Does anyone care anymore? And I really think because of that very fact, we care, but because
we don't think.
Yeah, you don't think either guy is going to be successful because Washington is so broken. So I think that's causing voter apathy.
I don't know. The deck chairs look real good right here.
And yet another poll shows we have mixed feelings about the health care law and the pending Supreme Court ruling about it.
Because we don't know about it.
That's exactly right. 25% of us want it overturned. Only 17% want to keep it. 40% of us say,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People don't know what it
we
is.
We say that we were not
I
sure.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Me neither.
I don't know the nuts and bolts of it. I know the general concepts of it.
I'll explain it to you after the show,
Thank you, Rob.
Will tell you this. It's great.
I like Brighter.com. Yeah.
Finally.
And also Hotwire.
Right.
As a new client.
Everyone passes gas, but polite people try to get away from others to do so. In Teaneck, New Jersey, a 47-year-old man had been feuding with his 72-year-old neighbor and made it a point to let go of a loud one right in front of his neighbor's apartment door. The 72-year-old victim grabbed his gun, busted through the door, and aimed it at the younger man, threatening to put a hole in his head for what he'd done.
God.
Farting outside your neighbor's door is not a crime, no matter how offensive, so the young man got off scot-free. The offended man with the gun now faces a long list of charges. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You know, if more people were like that old guy, there wouldn't be a living disc jockey in the world.
Our show today was brought to you by Spencer and Devon Shaving Cream. Spencer and Devon uses natural ingredients like aloe and shea butter, no harsh chemicals, in sagebrush or spice or completely unscented.
Spice.
Read the whole story about this wonderful product, SpencerDevon.com. That's where you go for that. Or click their ad on our website. Spencer and Devon Shave Cream. Smooth the Savage Blade. Thank you all for joining us. Stay cool, everybody, because those dog days are coming back. It's going to be a hot one tomorrow.
Hey, don't forget to check on your senior citizen neighbors.
Thank you, Rob. We'll be back with another brand new program tomorrow. Happy days, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
So long,
ciao. Thank you.